Okay, so we're going to finish Isaiah tonight, 60 through 66. Could probably read all six chapters and just go for it. That's probably what we're going to do. So let's start in Isaiah 60. And we'll see how, maybe we'll skip some material because six chapters of text is maybe a bit much, don't you think? But let's get started with Isaiah 60, where it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising." Now, what are we speaking of? This is the final redemption, the redemption of Judah, the redemption of Israel, the Jewish people. This light then, what is this light? Is this a literal light? Well, maybe it is. You know, and some of the sages thought, you know, it's a literal light. And the idea is that this is the light that was concealed after the initial days of creation. So Hashem said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and this light was before the light of the sun and the moon and the stars, so it was a different kind of light. And so Hashem concealed this light after the sin of Adam, and he concealed it to be revealed again in the Messianic era, in the kingdom, and in the world to come. Right, so that's what this light is that comes bursting forth. This is what Troy Mitchell's new album is all about. Is kind of like circling around the idea of this concealed light that will be revealed in the Messianic era. Symbolically, the light refers to the revelation of God, the knowledge of God. Enlightenment is the way that we would put it. Okay. But maybe it's also, maybe we should also understand it on some literal level. When we get into the book of Revelation and the world to come, New Jerusalem, what do we read in Revelation? It says, it quotes this passage that we just read, more or less, alluding to it anyway. "The nations will walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it." This is into New Jerusalem. "In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. They will bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the righteous." All right, so this is a very famous passage. "Arise, shine." And there's a great deal of midrash that's built around these couple verses, quite a bit. I mean, it would be fun if we had the time to look at Yalkut Shimoni, and where it talks about this being the light of Messiah, the light of Messiah that Hashem had concealed under his throne and saved to be revealed until the Messianic era. And there's several texts like that we could look at. Let's go on. So Hashem is speaking, the Lord is speaking to Zion, and he says, "Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on the ship. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you." So this is part of the ingathering that's being pictured here, the ingathering of the exiles of Israel as they're being brought back to the land of Israel from the nations where they've been scattered for during these days of exile. And now that Zion has risen and that Hashem has revealed himself and subjugated all the nations, he's calling his people back to the land, and the nations come up and they bring tribute to the king, to King Messiah in Messianic Jerusalem. So it says, "The wealth of nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news of the praises of the Lord." So you know, as you're a New Testament reader, you recognize, oh, listen, we've got guys coming on camels with gold and frankincense. This is Christmas. And that's what's going on here, actually. Actually, that's what's going on at Christmas. And the story of the wise men coming up is in allusion to this passage. That's supposed to be a first fruits. Because here in this passage in Isaiah, you have a prophecy of these these kings and these officials and ambassadors of the nations coming up to bring tribute to King Messiah. And so when the Magi came from the east bearing these gifts for King Messiah, they were like the first fulfillment of this prophecy, and Matthew is alluding to this. It says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. You know, these are Kedar, Nebaioth. These are the Ishmaelite tribes. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. So these, what's interesting about these flocks of Kedar, these rams of Nebaioth, this ties into what we studied last week of my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. That's what's being referred to here. Who are these who fly like a cloud, like doves to their windows? This is a reference. The ingathering once again. And so the sages explained this verse to mean that, you know, that the clouds will carry the exiles of Israel. They'll be carried on the clouds and brought back to the land of Israel. And so you see that there's a tension here in the text. Some are carried on the clouds. They fly like the doves. And the prophet's saying, who are these? Or Zion is actually saying, who are these who fly on the clouds? But some are coming up on camels and then ships and that sort of thing. So the question is, what's the difference? You know, what's the difference between those who get to fly on clouds and those who have to take land transportation? Well, the answer is that there's also a prophecy that Messiah will come on the clouds in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, right? And then there's another prophecy that he'll come on land transportation, right? The donkey, you know? Uh-huh. Right. Okay, and so the sages say, well, you know, if the generation is worthy, he'll come on the clouds. If the generation's not worthy, he'll come on the donkey, right? So this is what the Talmud says. So along the same lines, those who are worthy are carried on the clouds. Those who are not worthy have to take the land transportation. That's the explanation. All right. For the coastlands shall hope for me. The ships of Tarshish first shall bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them. So you see, the nations are bringing tribute to King Messiah. But part of the tribute that they're bringing is they're carrying the Jewish people. It reminds me of that movie, The Exodus. Remember the Exodus ship? All of the refugee ships after World War II. But unlike that situation where the British were blocking those ships from landing in Palestine and sending them back and interning all of those people in internment camps, you know, most of these being Holocaust survivors, unlike that situation, instead, now the nations will be facilitating this ingathering. For the foreigners shall build up your walls. Their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually day and night. They shall not be shut, so that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations. You recognize that from the passage we just read in Revelation? Gates open day and night. Right? Wealth of the nations coming in. For the nation and the kingdom will not serve you. That will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to the cypress, the plain, the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, which is the temple. We're talking about a restoration of the temple. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Those sons who afflicted you shall come bending low to you. All who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. All right, so that's as far as we need to go in chapter 60. It just goes on with more of the same. We might want to just take a glance at verse 19 where it says, the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor the brightness shall be the moon. Shall give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, as we see that alluded to as well in the book of Revelation. Okay, let's go on to chapter 61. See if you recognize this. This is another of these servant songs, the servant of the Lord that we've been following since we began. I think we picked up the first one around Isaiah 41 or 42. So the servant of the Lord is speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." This is, you know, good news, gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall rebuild the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you, the Jewish people, shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as ministers of our God." So here we see Israel in her role as the priestly nation. As Hashem said, "You will be unto me a nation of priests." Right? "You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy." Okay, so that's probably as far as we need to read there. You recognize this passage, though, at least the beginning of the passage, from the Gospel of Luke. Our master's in the synagogue in Nazareth. He's up there to read he's been called up to read the Maftir. He reads the scroll of the Maftir, the end of the Torah portion, sets it aside. They hand him the scroll of the Haftarah. It's Isaiah. He opens up, finds where it's written, and he starts to read Isaiah 61. He reads Isaiah 61, a couple verses from Isaiah 61, which is, you know, a lot of scholars, you know, they're like, "Well, why did he select just these couple verses?" You know, and it's, that's not the point. Luke's job is not to write down everything that he read. You know, Luke just selects the pertinent text. You know, this was the core pertinent text that he read that morning. It doesn't mean that he stopped there, that he didn't begin earlier or something like this. It's usually a Haftarah portion is a little longer, right? Than how many verses? 2-3 verses that he read. Anyway, you get the bigger picture here. Yeshua, our master, stands up, he quotes this, he says, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." So what does that mean? "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." He says, remember, this is his first trip. He's just first come back to Nazareth after his experience at the Jordan River, where he's been anointed with the Spirit of God. And the text he's reading says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," which alludes over to Isaiah 11, which is a branch will come forth from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of insight. So he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." So he's making a declaration in his hometown synagogue saying, I'm the one Isaiah is speaking of. I'm the Messiah. And I'm here to bring the redemption. I'm here to bring the final redemption. And when he says, today this text is fulfilled. What part of it is fulfilled? Is the final redemption part? No, obviously not. I mean, it was pretty easy to look around and say, it's not the final redemption yet. Instead, that he has been anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that he's been anointed to proclaim the final redemption. Right. Nevertheless, this still implies that the final redemption had to be like around the corner. You can't be out there proclaiming the final redemption 2,000 years before the fact. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's like, well, I didn't say exactly when. You know, like, so, again, we come back to the implication of the gospel is that the final redemption had to be at hand. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." That refers to everything we just read in chapter 60 and chapter 61 was about to happen. The potential was there. But it came with a contingency. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you don't repent, exile is at hand. So there's like two paths that he was setting before the people. All right. Any questions on Isaiah 61 or the quotation? There's actually, I mean, if we had time, we could just study how he uses, you know, how he uses the language and how Luke, while Luke's quoting from this version, he's quoting this from the Septuagint version to some extent, but then he uses some different wording. Who cares, right? Well, okay, Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, oh, the Messianics love this one. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Why does everybody like this one so much? Because you get to, like, make a lot of noise. You know, you're going to make a lot of noise for Zion's sake. Blow a shofar. You know, you're going to play some drums and that sort of thing. But who's the speaker here?
Hashem.
Yeah. It's Hashem who is saying, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nation shall see your righteousness, Zion's righteousness, the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of God. You shall no more be termed forsaken. Your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land shall be called married. For as the Lord delights in you, so your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. So again, he's speaking about the redemption. He's speaking about the ingathering when Zion is... Earlier in these chapters has been depicted as a widow, as a mother bereaved of her children, and now she's being remarried to her husband. She's being reunited with her sons, the exiles. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest, give him no rest, until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies. Foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. Makes me think of Bob Dylan. You know, all along the watchtower. Businessmen, they drink my wine. This must be where he got it from, don't you think? Because you've got men I've set watchmen on your walls, right? All along the watchtower, don't you think? Businessmen, they drink my wine. I never really saw that before. You see, I'm telling you, Bob Dylan is a prophet. He was a prophet.
You have to serve somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Dylan, Minnesota's most famous Messianic Jew. Don't forget. That's right. All right. Go through the gates. Listen to this now. We saw this when we started this section, Isaiah 40. This lift up, clear the way. You know, prepare a highway for the Lord. Guess what? Back then we were talking about a road crew preparing the highway for the king to enter. Now we're up to the city. We've been moving forward steadily through these prophecies. Now we're finally up to the gates of the city. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones. Lift a signal for the peoples. That's, you know, the sign of Messiah, the Ness, the sign of the Son of Man, it says in the Gospels. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. Which, when we come to the end of the book of Revelation, you have that you have the master saying, he quotes this loosely. You know, he says, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, Yeshua Techa, your Yeshua comes. He says, behold, I, Yeshua, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you, Zion, shall be called sought out in a city not forsaken. Good stuff. So he's kind of reaching a crescendo here in the book of Isaiah, I think.